Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. And now, on to the show.
Awesome. Welcome. I'm so excited to have you here. And I feel like you don't need an introduction, but at the same time, I'm always interested to hear what is the thing you're most excited about what you're doing right now that would introduce people to who you are?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. Yeah, I do a lot. So
I didn't prep you for that one. I'm sorry.
No, and that's part of what I love is I love being able to move between different projects. It gives me a lot of inspiration, like cross things. And so at Automattic, we obviously have WordPress.com, WooCommerce, Tumblr, Jetpack, and our ecosystem side. And then we have what we call Cosmos Businesses, like Day One apps you should check out. Pocket Cast for podcasting, Day One for journaling. Beeper now for multi-messaging is the newest area that we're in. Tumblr, if you want some cool social blogging and to be hip again, like a teenager. So that's pretty fun. Then WordPress.org obviously is 22 years now and hopefully the rest of my life. And that's incredibly engaging just for the people. It's wild that it's almost an impossible idea, like that people all over the world would come together to create this open source CMS. And it's truly, it's nothing without the people. And it's very volunteer driven. Automattic obviously is a big supporter and many other companies. Thank you, Kinsta, for sponsoring this, by the way. But yeah, there's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, if you add up like kind of plugins and everything like that, of people in the ecosystem that contribute to it. That's why I like calling it an ecosystem, because it is like a very complex being. It's like a rainforest. And I make angel investments through Audrey Capital. I have over 100 big companies like Stripe and SpaceX, lots of small things, fun ideas that I just want to see exist in the world. And like in any angel investment, lots of failures, but some pretty good outcomes so far and some more to come. It's a way I got a lot of support when I was a young entrepreneur, 20-year-old kid moved to Houston. And so it's my kind of way to pay it forward. I don't do it for return. I just do it for, to support entrepreneurs. I got that leg up and people took a chance on me way back in the day when there was no good reason to. So then finally, last project, and this is probably my last one for a while, is this jazz club in San Francisco called Keys Jazz Bistro that I co-founded with this great guy, Simon Rowe, who runs it day to day. So that's a nice one. I could just show up, but it's a beautiful jazz club. If you're ever in San Francisco, please check it out.
That is really neat. I don't think I ever knew that about you, that you also had a non-tech business.
It's a business. Yeah, it's a fun thing for me. You know, every release of WordPress is named after jazz musicians. And there's a reason for that. That's how I got started with websites, was building websites for jazz musicians. And then that turned into hacking on open source software. I put forums on them like PHPBB and vBulletin. Then I started thinking about galleries and music players, and just found open source and fell in love with sound. This is the thing. Obviously, I'm going to do the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I very much appreciate you coming here and being willing to chat about accessibility with us. As you can see, we've got lots of people from around the world who are really interested. For everyone, we will have some time for Q&A related to accessibility questions. So if you want to put those throughout the conversation in the Q&A module in Zoom, that's much easier for us to keep track of than the chat. I'm probably not going to pay attention to the chat. It's very hard for me to watch and talk at the same time.
Yeah.
So put those in and I will pass those along to Matt towards the end of the webinar. I'd be curious just to start like with the history of, obviously you were talking about WordPress has been around for 20 plus years. It's very community driven. Can you share any history that you have on the accessibility team, how it got started, and maybe how the approach to accessibility in WordPress has evolved over the past 20 years?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I actually had to look it up because I forgot, but it was 2014, I believe the team started, maybe 2013, but the handbook was first published in 2014. But like you said, accessibility has been really part of WordPress from the very start. And one of the big differentiators for us was the sort of attention to web standards and the importance of like compliant code. That was actually why I started hacking on things like PHPB. And what was the one that I turned into BB Press, I forget, but I just want the code to be compliant. I was like, all the HTML is terrible in the world. I was obsessed with the W3 text or the W3C validation.
W3C,
checker.
Yeah.
I haven't visited that in a while. I'm curious, actually, if my stuff still validates, but I was obsessed with it. I just ran every website I visited through it. I ran every project. And that was a lot of my early contributions to things, including B2, was making the code more standards compliant and beautiful as well. My first contribution was actually a typography plugin. That's still in WordPress. It's called Texturize. So good it makes your quotes grow. is the tagline. It's adds typographic entities using regular expressions actually to plain text. So it figures that out. Very tricky. But it was fun coding. It was like my kind of entree to coding was that contribution. So it got started. I don't recall exactly, but I know the time. But I will say that it's always been part of our DNA. And I know we have some questions about this later. I think it's something that a lot of core developers, including Matthias, Riyadh, Rich DePoor, like all the people we're in a group in core leading, I've always cared about accessibility. Yeah.
Do you see ways that accessibility can or has maybe driven some innovation in the WordPress space or within Gutenberg?
That's a good question. I think one interesting thing is that I'm very excited. Actually, the craziest thing I've seen since ChatGPT is this sort of agentic browser comment. I talked about it at WordCamp US. And have you tried it yet?
No, I haven't.
You have to. It's wild. But it's a robot that's figuring out how to use WordPress. And it's fascinating to watch. It stumbles. Sometimes it gets lost, often with a usability issue that I think we have. But it does use accessibility labels. So the bot actually reads the accessibility labels. And so I love the story of accessibility. You design for accessibility, not just for people who need it, but for people who might be temporarily disabled, or maybe it's like someone holding a kid. And so they need to open the door with one hand. So that sort of thing is kind of an unexpected side effect of this investment. So that's one. It's accessible for these bots too, which I think is going to be very key to the future.
Yeah. I mean, there's been so much conversation about the change in search and how search is changing with the introduction of the AI chat. And it's so interesting when you're going back to what you're saying about HTML being valid. And at the core, that's really a lot of what accessibility is, having valid, clean code, which is better for performance, it's better for search, and probably, yeah, it's way better for all the chatbots and all those things that are trying to learn about your website.
Yeah, it's actually, I highly recommend everyone use this just for usability testing. It's amazing because user research is valuable but hard often. So you have this kind of dumb person who's gonna struggle just like a human will to try things. And before the AIs get too smart, you should use it for usability testing.
That's a fun idea. This is like a total tangent, but did you ever see, there was a guy, I don't know, it was maybe like 7 or 8 years ago, and he was getting paid by very large companies. Like, I think I saw the one for HubSpot, and he would do YouTube videos called "The User Is Drunk." And he
Wow.
would get drunk and he would try to use companies, and companies thought it was funny, so they would pay him. But he would give
Wow.
user
Is he still
testing
going? We should
feedback.
hire him.
I don't think he's done that for a very long time, but maybe we could. I'm sure you could find somebody to do that for you. But it is interesting to think about all these different scenarios of people using your website that you might not. It's never just a best case scenario, right? There's all these different environments, different situations that people might be in, or different abilities that people might have.
It's actually one of my engineering principles as well. I think great code designs for the failure case first and to fail gracefully. And thinking about those edge cases, they're not actually edge cases. And if you can architect your code in a way that it never assumes the network is available and that just assumes slow networks or assumes that you're not going to be able to reach the HTTP request or something like that, it's far more robust and better code. So I like it.
So, talking about quality code, you and I had a conversation at WordCamp Europe in Italy, so a long time ago, about plugin linting and the plugin check plugin. And I know what could we potentially do on the accessibility front there. And now, fast forward to just like at the end of last month, the plugin team said that they are now doing automated plugin checks on updates on everything that's on WordPress.org, which I think is amazing. I know WooCommerce does this already, and actually, it will reject if you fail certain things, it will reject and it will say, hey, no, you can't put this update in the plugin extension directory and send it out to people unless you first fix the problems. So I'm curious, I have a few questions about this. My first one is, for WordPress.org, do you see that potentially are we on a path towards rejecting updates or plugins on WordPress.org that are going to have major like security issues or other things?
Oh, first I'll say this is, I think, one of the most exciting things in the WordPress world right now. It's really wild to see and very, it could upgrade everything. Yes, I think security, it's, I won't call it a rejection. I'll just call it a feedback loop. And hopefully these are things developers can run locally as like a complement to their linting process or testing process or other things. Yeah, it's, I think, going to be great. Now, security is tough. So there's, I think the usefulness of an automated check is going to be pretty basic for now. I'm sure it'll get better with AI and everything, but right now it's, I think we even do some, didn't escape this HTML and stuff like that, but it's pretty basic. It's important, but still basic. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think there would ever be public badges on plugins? So on our GitHub repo, we have these that shows things like it's passing WPCS, it's passing other coding standards. Like we have like what our test coverage is percentage because we use coveralls. Do you ever see things like this showing up on plugins on WordPress.org?
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalized Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. Thousands of businesses, nonprofits, universities, and government agencies around the world trust Accessibility Checker to help their teams find, fix, and prevent accessibility problems on an ongoing basis. New to accessibility? Equalized Digital Accessibility Checker is here to teach you every step of the way. Whether you're a content creator or a developer, our detailed documentation guides you through fixing accessibility issues. Never lose track of accessibility again with real-time scans each time you save, powerful reports inside the WordPress dashboard, and a front-end view to help you track down hard-to-find issues. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to Accessibility Checker Pro to scan your website in bulk, whether it has 10 pages or 10,000. Download Accessibility Checker today at equalizeddigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code ACCESSIBILITYCRAFT to save 10% on any plan.
Yeah, and that's, did we talk about this already? Because you asked a perfect question. So I think the future is, because I want to have an open marketplace. And I don't want to be too like nanny state or policing about it. But I do want customers to be able to make informed decisions. So badges for anything, translation, security checks, code quality, accessibility someday, if you y'all can make some tests. I think that's a better way to do it versus rejecting or something. Just let people search and filter by this is whatever the team comes up with is like different levels or things you can automate. I know it's very hard to automate that stuff. That's part of why your company exists, but some basic things, right? Yeah.
No, I mean, that literally led me to my next question because I'm like trying to figure out where does this all fit in? And can accessibility be part of that? Which, as you mentioned, it's really hard. And in particularly, I think with PHP to do a lot of automated checks for accessibility, unless you're rendering, right? Like you have to basically render the page. But I do feel like maybe there are some things, and it would be nice for website users to be able to be alerted to, hey, this problem might exist. Or this plugin doesn't have any known issues. You still need to test it, but.
And badges could be manual as well. I think we'll do, start doing some things around like plugin picks and other things. So there could be a manual accessibility badge that your team drives and maybe.
Like the one for themes, like the accessibility ready for themes, you mean?
Yeah, kind of like that. And say do one a week or something and let people submit, pick your favorite plugins, the canonical ones, probably the open source ones, and do make that a team cadence or something. It could be fun. I'm just brainstorming, but yeah.
It's so interesting. It's hard though, because I think I've been working with some other people on the accessibility team to rework and update and modernize the accessibility ready guidelines for themes. And then I built out this whole really detailed process to help anyone know how to test a theme, because one of the problems we've run into with the manual checks is that it's time intensive, and if there's only a small number of people on the accessibility team, it's who's going to do that and when? And so I'm like, we got to make it easy for somebody who's not an expert to come in and say, I look at these things and I can pass or fail it. So that's a challenge. And I don't know if you have any thoughts about that with what you're saying, because I love the idea of manual, like this has been reviewed by an expert, but at the same time, I'm also realistic about who would do that. And as we do a lot of auditing for plugin companies, I sure you know that because we do it for WooCommerce and we do it for other companies as well. And there's weird things you have to think about where you have to set up a block like 8 times because you have to have every possible setting variation things. So it's not like it's fast. I don't know.
I think the key there is actually just an education issue. I think y'all should be part of training the next generations of future contributors. We've had this problem with kind of every part of WordPress for a while. We didn't have enough developers. We didn't have enough designers. We didn't have enough whatever. And it's really just that kind of barn raising, the recruiting and the training of the next generation, I think is really important.
So I had a couple of questions.
Are you training the next Amber? Is there like, do you have a pipeline there?
Okay, so I have some ideas about this. And I want to float a couple by you and see what you think.
Sure.
So one is inspired by one of the things that I love that you guys do at Automattic, which is you make everyone do customer service some amount of the year, right?
Yeah, 1 week a year. I actually did one yesterday. I do it every week, actually. Just I do, but I don't do the answering tickets as much. I do ride-alongs, because I try to go through every single product in the company. We've got
ride-along products.
So a ride-along, it's like a cop term, actually. You did like a ride-along with the police. So basically, I pair with one of our amazing happiness engineers and it's screen share. And so I'm watching them work. And it's actually been very fascinating. So it's because I'm learning a lot about workflows, about internal tools, about how people are using AI, which is pretty amazing. Our happiness engineers are the secret power of Automattic. And so they're very talented. So it's been great to, and also I'm trying to meet everyone in the company as I have a personal goal, which is tough because we're 1,470 people, but we have a tool that tracks that. It's called Meet a Petition. And so I know.
So you can keep track of who you've met and not.
I'm going to see my percentage, actually, if you don't mind me looking it up. I'm curious what it is. I think it's been high in the past, but it came down post-COVID and stuff. And we haven't done a good, is it Matic Space? So we haven't done a good meetup in a while. Meet a Petition, yes. So we're right now 1,466. And let's see, it's loading. Mm-hmm. I've met 35%, so 511 of them, which is pretty good.
You got like a lot of people to meet.
35%, yeah, that's not okay. That's failing for me. So I got to do some work there.
Yeah. So this is one of the ideas I had. Can we make, I don't know how this works when people are volunteers, but strongly encourage, like this same concept of you have this disconnect if you don't talk to customers at least once a year. Can we strongly encourage or require in some way that all contributors to WordPress should spend at least a week on the accessibility team every year? Because there is so much, like the thing that's interesting about this to me is all of us started not knowing anything about accessibility. And when I think back on some of the websites that I built, honestly, actually, I did a webinar for Green Geeks and I was like, I need a demo on a website. I have this old copy of our agency website from before and I demoed with it. So people could go find this on the Green Geeks YouTube channel. Wow. It's so bad, but we all start somewhere. But it's one of those things that once you get in and you start learning and you start understanding the why, it's hard to not see it. Like I look at websites and color contrast for me, I'm just like, I don't even need to use a testing tool. I can pretty much tell.
Wow,
and I'm
cool.
Wondering if we had some sort of similar path, which is you want to contribute to WordPress, great. Go to the accessibility team for a week or 2 weeks every year. That could solve two things, which is, or maybe more than two things. Like it could get multiple
awareness.
People on the team, like more bodies to help churn through issues faster. It could also give that learning experience that then they could take back to whatever team they normally contribute to and be like, oh, wait, but when I was on accessibility, they were talking about this. Maybe we should think about this in our work. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a cool idea. I'm not into required things. As you can tell, but I think you catch more flies with honey than vinegar and make it an awesome training. Make it so amazing that like people can't ignore you and they'll just be like, hey, I really want to do this. So I think that's the key to it. So how do you make it fun? Bring pizza. It's just all the community building tips, which it's a lot of, I think it's also just a lot of manual outreach. And you're an amazing ambassador for the accessibility movement and also the team. Think about the outreach there. So be like, hey, we're putting together this great training. Would you be interested in it? Would save people. It's a lot of time commitment, but I think that'd be, it could be very valuable, very interesting to a lot of folks. I might take it. Yeah.
You mean something on Learn? Is that what you're thinking when you say a training? Or you mean more like a live, you tune in like we do at Meetup?
Up to you. Or do it at a WordCamp.
Yeah.
But I would say try all the
Yeah,
above.
I
I don't know
think
what's right there, but just try different things, see what sticks.
this is probably a continual issue that I think a lot of teams have, which is how do you keep people connected after contributor day?
Oh,
And
yeah.
I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but is one of those, right? If people come, they get interested, they do something, but then it's like getting them outside of the WordCamp to come back.
Yeah, actually, one of my ideas there that I think we'll do, maybe not this year, but maybe we might have it for Stay in the Word, but we'll see, is to make the badges, contributor badges, show activity. Because right now, you did one contribution, you got a badge. I want it to be
10
more
years ago.
like GitHub or something, right? Like shows some activity that a core contributor could be mean a lot of different things. And looking at blog author. And so just, I think it's also just, I want to make profiles more interesting because there's so much richness there. There's so much we could do.
Yeah. Oh, I like that idea. The other idea that I had about this, how can we get more accessibility contributors or more train more people that want to learn accessibility or learn WordPress because maybe they know accessibility, was I was thinking a lot about this Campus Connect program that has been started. And one of the difficulties that I have seen firsthand, when I lived in Colorado, I used to guest lecture for an undergraduate web development course, and once a semester I would teach one hour long block about WordPress. The professor just had me come in and do that as part of his course.
Oh,
And
that's
it was really fun. You can find these old lectures on the college's YouTube channel because they made them all public. But one of the things I always observed, and I've seen this a lot with boot camps too, is that accessibility is frequently not mentioned at all. And so I feel like there's a need there. And so I don't know if this has been
think that
discussed
is
at all
market
with.
demand, or what's the sort of reason for that? If we have to zoom out.
So for boot camps, I think the reason for that is a lot of times boot camps skim over HTML. I
Oh, wow.
think they assume HTML is easy. Everybody can, you'll just learn it along the way while we teach you the really complex JavaScript things you need to know to do your job. And they don't really deep dive into it. I don't know. It's possible that this is going to change with some of the laws and the emphasis on accessibility in particular in Europe, that maybe there will be more demand. And so boot camps will say, okay, we need to be teaching this. But I feel like there hasn't been the demand in maybe job descriptions. And so they haven't been doing it. I don't know the answer for all of the higher ed. That particular course was interesting because the faculty member, he was an academic professional who was teaching it. He didn't really work in the industry. So he knew the academic side of code, but I don't know if he actually had lived experience with I build websites for customers.
Yeah,
And
the European could definitely help because that'll create market demand, right? And these market forces will be very powerful. So if you're a developer and you have accessibility, whatever, certified or training, and you're going to be more valuable in those markets, I'm more likely to hire in those countries if you have one of those. So that'll create a virtuous loop and get people opting into it. It's the same reason why people love learning WordPress, because you can have a job for life. You can, it's a very lucrative skill to have. And so that's part of what is our key to success. So I think accessibility hopefully could have the same flywheel, but someone's got to boot it up. It's hard to. Yeah, I actually have some ideas that I think we'll cover it in later questions, but I think you had a question around what could the accessibility team do? And I brainstormed it a lot. So I have one idea. I think it's a good one, but you'll have to tell us.
Yeah, we'll get there in just a second. So I'm curious about Campus Connect just more broadly. Could any of those students be Could it be made part of their curriculum to participate in the accessibility team? Because that then maybe fills a gap in their education if they're not getting a lot of that, and it helps support the team. And then the other question I have is just on rolling it out to other schools and what the process looks like for that. Because we have a really good relationship with Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired, which is in Austin
Wow,
near
huh.
us. It's not a college, it's like a K-12, but they have high school students who would probably really benefit from being able to learn WordPress or coding and could you like you're talking about building that future generation, and they would have that accessibility experience already that they could bring to whatever team they wanted to contribute to on WordPress. And so I'm curious too, part, like, is there a way that this Campus Connect program could be leveraged to help support the accessibility team?
Absolutely. And I will admit that I'm not an expert in this. So I don't know the exact answer to add a school, but I'm sure it's doable. And that would be a beautiful one to have. And
who should I talk to?
Mary is the person. So Mary
helped. Mary?
Yeah. It's really, and her team has really driven this program. And I'm very proud of it. It wasn't something I'd even imagined. And I think it's going to be very important to WordPress in the future. So that's why you hire good people. You know?
Yeah. When you first talked about it, at WordCamp Europe, maybe, is where I heard about it. I was just instantly, it got me spinning. I'm like, this is really neat. I think it's cool. And I personally have introduced my children to WordPress, but cool. I feel like there's not very many. Oh, even my 8-year-old, she has a little art blog. She takes pictures of her art and she posts it up. And she does write alt text, just in case anyone watching is wondering. We have taught her about that.
That's amazing. How old are your kids?
We have 4 girls, and they are. 16, 12, 8, and 6 in 2 days.
Wow. Tell her happy birthday from me.
Yes, thank you. So
tell the 8-year-old, no, keep plugging. That's amazing.
She is a little bit limited by me because she's a contributor on her own website, because I just want to make sure she doesn't do something wild, post our address or something.
Yeah,
but then also, like, I have to go publish the posts. And,
yeah, things like that.
Yeah. So definitely I hold her back on that a little bit based on my time, but no, she enjoys it. Okay. So I am curious a little bit about, so the European Accessibility Act, we talked about that. It started enforcement in June, and there's, I think, a lot more market demand coming because of that. Obviously, we've seen automatic companies like WordPress VIP got FedRAMP and has been doing a lot of accessibility work, and Parsley and WooCommerce and all of that. I'm wondering if you can share anything about your experience from that sort of perspective. So not the WordPress project, but as like a business owner, about the value of investing in accessibility and any recommendations that you have for organizations that want to improve their own accessibility.
It's a great example of that economic flywheel I talked about. It was driven. We've always supported accessibility in WordPress core, but what really made it a priority for these businesses was the customer demand, particularly FedRAMP. We're actually the only FedRAMP certified WordPress host in the world. It was a very onerous process. Okay. Started it, I think, 5 or 6 years ago. And it was one of my champions, because it was like such a pain. There's so much you have to do. Like, we have to certify the people and do security checks, like all sorts of crazy stuff, but we got it. And it's been very exciting to serve some of those customers. I feel like it's a way we can give back as citizens as well. When these sites switch over, like the White House, they save millions of dollars. So that's also good. So I think we'll be good in Doge and all the cuts, because we're actually saving a lot of money with these organizations. Yeah, that's the idea. And it's, I think, going well. Thank you so much for your help there as well. For Woo, I think it's driven from those principles as well, particularly like the requirements in other countries, because Woo is very international. So it's helpful.
Can you share anything about, as far as just like internal conversations, did you have to do any sort of work to convince everyone that it was worth investing in? Or is it just you looked at the numbers and it was so obvious that it made sense? Yeah.
I actually didn't even realize it was happening. The team is very generous. And so they did it on their own. They managed their own roadmaps and everything. Yeah, I wasn't even aware of that one that was happening. So thank you for informing me.
That worked out then.
I followed up when I saw the questions. I was like, oh, that's cool. What are we doing there? And it's, I think, very reasonable.
Yeah. There's a question in the Q&A, which I think ties into one that I had told you that I wanted to talk about a little bit. This person asked, what's the roadmap for making Gutenberg ADA compliant, specifically WCAG 2.0 AA, which makes me guess that maybe they're in U.S. federal government, because that's not the current standard, but that's the federal government standard. So it's a little bit lower than the current standard. I don't know that they might not be, but that's what they asked. And I have also been curious about just the state in general of WordPress core. I know WP Campus funded a full accessibility audit of Gutenberg in 2018, and I believe all of those issues have been fixed, but there hasn't been any other comprehensive accessibility audit of WordPress core since then. and just incidental, right? Like accessibility team people flagging things, or if we do auditing for a client and we're like, oh, this is actually a core issue, like we go open a track ticket, that kind of thing. And I do think not, and as a result, there's not any really clear written documentation about this is the exact state of WordPress core. There's no accessibility conformance report that's an official internationally recognized thing that says this is how it aligns with all of these different standards. And so I am curious if there is a way that the project would budget for having a comprehensive accessibility audit for WordPress core and creating one of these reports that organizations who really care about accessibility and know that their admin needs to be accessible also could reference.
One that assumes the project has a budget, which it doesn't. WordPress.org is just all volunteers. There is the WordPress Foundation, which in its charter can donate to other nonprofits. And of course, we do WordCamps and everything in sub. Now, the foundation, if you look at the budget, I think it's 50 grand a year. We don't get very many donations. So I'd say it's definitely something we could consider. If people want to donate, then we could do a directed donation as well towards this or fundraise. But yeah, we could try to keep the organization pretty lean. So we do have the space. We've supported some great things like I think Black Girls Code and a few other education opportunities. So any excess budget that we don't need, we just sort of direct to other nonprofits. Internet Archive is one that we've supported.
So is that to say that, I'm trying to think of a concrete path here.
So the WordPress Foundation actually clarified something. Yeah. Our IRS designation is not to support the WordPress software.
Okay.
So we can't do, but we can do education things.
So if there was a nonprofit organization whose goal was to support the WordPress software accessibility in that, then could the foundation donate to that organization and that organization could pay for an audit?
Yeah. So ideally there's like probably some existing nonprofits that might do some of this or something. Yeah. It's hard to get the IRS designation. So for a new one, it's tricky. It takes,
yeah, I know.
It's actually 3 years. So they kept rejecting it. My plan was, oh, let's just do WordPress. Nope, you can't do that. So
they're like, yeah, that's not nonprofit. Yeah, it is interesting because I know here in Austin, there is a really great nonprofit that focuses on website accessibility called Nobility, and they do some auditing and that kind of stuff. But I think in that case, you wouldn't be donating to Nobility. You'd be hiring them, and that probably would be against the rules, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah, no, we can be creative there.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's interesting, and it's something I want to explore because I feel like there are a lot of government and higher ed and enterprise clients where this could become increasingly a decision factor for them in using WordPress or not. I just last week did a WP Campus event, and it's very split there between Drupal, which I know you and I have talked about, and you have all kinds of thoughts about Drupal, but it's very much like almost a 50-50 split. And
yeah, Drupal a great project. So, yeah.
Promotes accessibility a lot and the accessibility gate features. And so I think sometimes universities are like, oh, that should be my deciding factor.
Yeah. And what's the 2018 audit? What standard was it to?
That was 2.1 AA.
Okay.
So it was, yeah, it was the current standard at that time.
What's latest?
2.2.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I think there were about, I can't remember the exact number, like 12 additional success criteria got added. Now, the accessibility team updated the standard for what WordPress software strives for, which is 2.2 AA now. It's just, there's never been a comprehensive audit of every internal component.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think we're in pretty good shape, actually. The audit, I'm sure, will raise some issues, but we've done so much investment. See, someone said their company chose Drupal. Don't just look at a certification. Look at all the activity and like the real world use cases that we support, which is very, yeah, especially in Gutenberg, man, it was a lot of work because Gutenberg is such an advanced interface. And one of the things I've thought of as well is whether there should be a canonical accessibility plugin that the team could do or someone could do. That kind of does sort of above and beyond things or supports an alternative interface for, we already support a ton of, WordPress has always had lots of ways to post and use it. There's clients, there's APIs, there's all sorts of things. So what would it look like if there was a completely accessibility designed interface? That's a question for you, actually. If you were designing a completely accessible CMS from the ground up, how would you do it? And how would that differ from WordPress?
I don't think that I would have a Canonical plugin that adds accessibility.
You're designing it from scratch, so it's
yeah, I would just build it in. And I think there was a pretty decent article on the repository that had a quote from me and maybe some info from Joe Dolson, if folks want to look that up, about the idea of a Canonical accessibility plugin. I think all of this, like building it from a ground up, that is the best way to do accessibility. Maybe the biggest challenge we have right now is that it moves really fast in comparison to the number of people who know or care about accessibility, which is outside of the accessibility team. I'm not just saying the accessibility team. Like, there are other people who know and care about accessibility that just do Gutenberg or whatever. And so here's a great example. I was beta testing 6.9 and I put a math block on the page. So I was like, this is cool. There's a math block and it's in the beta. And I listened to it with the screen reader, and the screen reader completely bypasses it and doesn't read it at all.
Oh, wow.
I think it's because it's just missing it needs an XML declaration on the block. I'm still exploring this, and then I'm going to open an issue.
Cool.
But the problem
we're gonna
is,
time,
of
so
course,
get it in quick.
Is
we only got a little
why
time.
Did this block that theoretically has been in the Gutenberg plugin and tested by a whole bunch of people for a lot before it even gets put into core, because there's a whole process for this. Why did it get this far that it's in the beta and a screen reader doesn't read it at all? What that tells me is no one tested this block with a screen reader. And so then that makes me be like, is it just because it like went really fast and there's not enough people, and maybe the project? So going back to what I want to do, would it need to slow down, or would there need to be a very clear checklist that anytime you propose a block move from the plugin to core, you have to literally, like, on your PR, check the box that's I listen to it with NVDA. Check the box I listen to it with VoiceOver. Like, very concrete things. And I think I would make everyone responsible for accessibility.
Yeah, you should start a CMS. I'm kidding. Why,
oh, man,
why
no.
did that happen?
I do not want that job.
We're human. So I don't know the exact details of this block, but I know that people
yeah,
try.
Yeah, I don't either.
We're moving fast. There's a lot to do. 6.9 is just a few weeks away, December 2nd. And so it's, yeah. And then we're already working a lot on 7.0. So there's some very exciting stuff coming. And yeah, so we'll make mistakes, but we'll let us know. And we'll always try to be better. So I think that's the key there.
Yeah.
And we already covered the requirements thing. I think it's we have a lot of barriers to the contribution right now. I'm actually thinking about removing some of our current checks or hoops we make people jump through, because like, how can we make contributing and modifying WordPress radically more accessible, in the sense that like more people can do it, which is our mission, is to democratize publishing. And I also want people to learn to code through WordPress and other things. I think we can do some fun stuff around Playground there. And we actually have some test builds with actual full development environments inside of Playground. So you can just download one thing. You don't need like Docker or anything else. And you just can start submitting patches right then.
Yeah. The one difficulty
with this democratization has made WordPress worse. I'm curious about that.
That is really interesting. Maybe Frank will put more thoughts in the chat about that. I think the difficulty with Playground, from if we're saying everybody do basic things like, I don't know, run the Wave browser extension, which is an easy thing, right? The difficulty with Playground is it's an iframe. And so none of the accessibility browser extensions work, because they check the accessibility of the page the iframe is embedded in, not actual.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's tricky, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to circle just a tiny bit back to this question the person asked on that note, like talking about moving fast and all that. Can you share anything about what's in the roadmap for 2026, and is accessibility a key part of that?
You have very consistent questions. I don't think my answer there will satisfy you, but I hope that that your team and others do make accessibility a key part of everything we do. The roadmap is, you know, we're going to phase 3 of Gutenberg, so collaboration, which is I'm very excited about, because that's going to be basically turn WordPress from a single player to a multiplayer application, a game. We have lots of things also, speaking of game, to make WordPress a little bit more fun. Actually, because of some not accessibility, but actually translation issues. A lot of the personality from the interface has been removed because it doesn't start to translate. And I think we need to bring some of that back. So look for some Easter eggs, some fun quirks, some more human language. Maybe you'll say howdy again. Definitely hello, Dolly. It's not going away.
Does it not say howdy? I thought it still said howdy. Offering.
I think it does say howdy, actually. There's something else that got removed that I liked. Oh, I think it was like the some fun stuff. So when I was in WordCamp Canada, they told me that they had an on some of their strings just for fun.
Oh, A, yeah.
A, because it's just a common thing. And that got removed. So there was like, oh, well, yeah, bring that back. That's fun. So
Richard says, I love Canada. I do love Canada. WordCamp Canada I didn't go this year, but I went last year for their first one. And it was one of my favorite WordCamps I have ever attended. I really enjoyed it. They did a fantastic job.
I was so lucky that my schedule worked out that I could attend. I was planning just to attend. And then they saw me go and they're like, can you talk? I was like, okay. But I'm just going to attend. The program looks so good.
Yeah, the pressure of being the fancy person at the top. You can't be an anonymous attendee
anymore.
Register
like a fake name or something, wear a disguise. Because I like to see more WordCamps and like kind of secret shop. Check it out. So that's a fantasy of mine.
Do you think that the admin, like the full admin redesign will come in 7.0? I've heard 7.0 is going to be big. And as I will say, like from an accessibility, like me talking about this being fast and like thinking about how many volunteers are there to test it. I am both excited because I think the admin needs a redesign and also terrified because I'm like, are there enough people to test this and will it cause accessibility to revert?
Probably if we did a ground up rewrite, which some people were proposing. And we're going to discuss this and debate it, but I'm pushing for more of an incremental redesign. So based on current code and pages and things. So we should inherit. Think of it more like a visual refresh, kind of like the MP6 project, where we can curve some corners.
Like reskinning.
Change some typography. Think of it as more like a new coat of paints versus, because there's a lot of wisdom in some of these screens and there's a lot of functionality that is just, gosh, I tried this once with Calypso. That was a ground up rewrite of the WordPress admin and in JavaScript as a React app. It's actually open source. So the plan was to like source it, build it, and then donate it back to the project. The reason that didn't happen wasn't a commercial thing. It's that one, it was much harder than we thought to rebuild every screen. And in our testing, some of the new screens did not perform as well as the old one. So it's like, that's the results are all that matter. I don't care that it's React and JavaScript or whatever. It's like, is it more usable? Are people doing things more or less? And on WordPress.com, we have really good telemetry on things because it's a SaaS service, so we can track everything pretty easily. And so we saw some usage of some things go down, like key stuff. So like comment moderation. So I was like, oh, that sucks. So let's just go back to core.
Yeah.
We still have Calypso, but actually WordPress.com is moving to a more WP admin first experience. So you probably noticed like we changed. What's the big changes? Mm-hmm. One that's pretty huge that people aren't aware of is now every single plan, including the $4 one, supports plugins and themes.
Oh, I did not know that. I thought you had to be on a business plan or something to install plugins.
You did for the past 10 years, and now every single plan can do it. And that's part of this idea of bringing WordPress.com closer to WordPress. And also, it's a much more native WP admin experience. And we still have our extra stuff like the reader, notifications, and all the cool Jetpack features. But that sort of separate hosting dashboard will be a little more defined, kind of like other WordPress hosts, where there's a hosting dashboard and then there's your WordPress versus we were trying to really mix everything together and it got a little complex. So there is a big redesign happening on WordPress.com too, which I'm very excited about. That's led by a great Canadian, Ian Stewart. So the core redesign, I think, is going to be very big from just a freshness point of view, because to be honest, we've neglected the WP admin design. I don't think it's really changed since MP6 much. There's also some things I just want to tweak, like the dashboard. There's some things I want to do there, like the dashboard. There's just a lot going on right now. And site health is like very like in your face and stuff like that. It's like the most kind of
joyful thing. Scary?
It's way too scary right now. It's a well-intentioned team. I get why they're doing, but it's very intense. And I think it's really more of a host thing. So I also rather we'd email the host and not the customer that, hey, you need to update HP or something. Because, gosh, what percentage?
Most customers don't know how to do that.
Oh, my goodness. Even if the control panel supports it,
Maybe what you need to do is in the admin where you can set your admin email, you need to have a secondary field that's set your developer email.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And then people could, if they wanted, define a different email where all the scary technical or like your site went down, there was a critical error emails, where all those go that are not the comment moderation emails that go to their marketing team.
Yeah. Have you ever tried a Jetpack Manage?
No, I haven't.
It's
Does
pretty
it
cool.
do that?
Yeah. There's obviously backups, which are pretty good. And Jetpack has a downside monitor as well. And Jetpack Manage allows you to manage unlimited number of sites. I think I have 900 and it does auto updates or plugins for free, which some hosts charge for. And it provides sort of like some central, you can switch between blogs really easily. It's see stats all in one place. It's pretty neat. Yeah. Check it out if you haven't checked it out yet. It's an underappreciated perk.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Yeah.
It's actually another thing for me next year is just making Jetpack more well known, because it's like doing a, it's like a Ferrari that costs like a Honda, a Civic or something. And but we do a terrible job telling the story of the functionality. So a lot of people have an old perception of it when everything was bundled. And now it's like you can pick and choose what you want to use. And just they don't know all the power of it. It's really amazing.
Yeah, that is really
cool. Brittany Johnson says, love Jetpack.
I feel a little relieved that you're saying the admin redesign will happen, but it will be a refresh or reskin rather than a total rebuild. That makes me feel a little better about accessibility status and not totally losing progress.
Like I said, it's an active discussion and debate. So it's not, I have lots of ideas that change and other things, but that's my current, based on the information I have right now, that's my current opinion.
Is that a debate that can be found on like the, what would it be, on the Meta blog? Or where would people go if they wanted to participate in that and vote for something?
Oh, that's probably more like the brainstorming discussion phase. So it's not on a P2 that I'm aware of. It might be actually. So I should look that up.
Okay. So maybe go somewhere in Slack and ask about it. Yeah.
Or start the debate.
Okay.
I heard it's going to be admin redesign. Because it's not officially on a roadmap yet. It's just something we're talking about and thinking about. So it hasn't gone through the process of the P2 and the discussion, the make meeting and everything like that.
So it's early. Yeah.
It's not even born yet.
Okay.
And of course, there'll be lots of opportunities for everyone to weigh in, and we'll do a whole process where people can test accessibility and other things. So it's not going to be a surprise. So don't worry.
Is that a 2026 item?
What's that?
Do you think? Is this everything you're talking about? Do you expect that in 2026?
I could see it even in 7.0, but we might start as a plugin first, kind of like MB6. So have a plugin that people can test out the new design. We can iterate more rapidly than before. We could ship daily or weekly or something. And, you know, lightweight way for people to test out, because it's hard to, I actually run a lot of my sites on Trunk. So I just get the daily breaks and everything because I want to experience every bug. But that's a lot to ask for other people. We do have a good beta test. We have so many users of Gutenberg plugin as well. So we have a ton of testers there. So we might actually make it a checkbox of Gutenberg or something.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I think, so this idea of the canonical plugins, and I know you had advocated earlier in the year for us having more of them, is interesting because at that event last week with WP Campus, Ed Beck, who's the president of WP Campus, he was telling me that they did a WordPress in higher education survey, and one of the frustrations for higher ed WordPress admins, so like the tech people who run these, is that they always have to go get plugins for a lot of things.
I mean,
which I thought was so
yeah.
interesting, because I'm like, you want more stuff in core? I don't know about that. But he was, specific things that he gave as examples were calendars, filtering, expandable sections, although I don't know if that is solved by the accordion block. It might be, which I'm very happy about, that block. More robust navigation, maybe like mega menus, because imagine like a university menu, right? Do you see more of these things coming as canonical plugins or core features? And do organizations who want those, is there some way where there could almost be like, I need the higher ed version of WordPress, and it would install and it would have all of these things? Or do you still feel like a lot of these features might still make more sense to just stay in plugins that are not community driven?
That's a good question. And it's interesting because right now we're simultaneously doing two different directions, which is Woo is doing more in core. So the complexity of some e-commerce integrations, I think the testing and the criticality of stores can't go down because you're losing money. So we're going to actually bring some more features into core and Woo, which I'm very excited about. Now for core WordPress though, My philosophy is the opposite. I want a lean, mean, very focused core, opinionated, and it'll have some fun stuff, but probably not a calendar, or we already have BB Press, so no forms. But I want, you asked, will there be Canonical plugins or not? Yeah, we support a few already. We have the Fediverse plugin. We have now WP CLI. We have WP GraphQL, BB Press, Buddy Press. These are all Canonical officially supported things and some pretty big projects there that both we use ourselves, but also they're as complex as WordPress itself in some ways. Those, I think, are all from me or automatic. So we can do more Canonical plugins, I say. Just if you have an idea, spit it up and pitch me and we can make it Canonical.
Okay, so what Ed needs to do is figure out what he wants and reach out then.
Yeah. Actually, because we have this new concept of tags on the WordPress.org directory. So there's non-commercial, which is default. Then there's Canonical. And then there's commercial plugins, right? And part of my idea there is that any plugin that's non-commercial could become a Canonical plugin if you're like, wow, this is really good. All right, you get the stamp of approval. So people actually don't need permission to start one. They just start a non-commercial thing that solves the problem. And if it's great, we'll put the stamp on it.
Yeah, I think this is maybe the way the direction might be going with getting rid of Meetup or meetup.com for the meetups.
I've
Someone
heard some
created an
progress
alternative plugin. Yeah.
Which is very exciting. There's so much cool stuff in the community that I'd love to bring more of it on WordPress.org because we're good engineers. We're good at software. So we should build more software.
Yeah. So I think one of the interesting things about all of the choices that go into or all of the things that you have to consider when you're going into choices on what features to build or not is probably understanding demographics. And you mentioned earlier that you have a lot of telemetry from WordPress.com and maybe people who use some of your other hosting products. I'm curious, are you able to share any information about what you know about the demographics of WordPress users? For example, things that I find really interesting, especially from thinking about an accessibility demand perspective, like how many websites are built by DIY WordPress users, right, who probably have never heard of accessibility, or versus agencies or developers who build for others? Or do you have any idea on what percent of WordPress websites are monetized or anything like that? Do you have any demographics that you could share?
No, this is one of the most challenging things about being radically open source and so distributed. Sometimes you don't even know a website is WordPress because maybe it has a custom front end. So there's so many ways to run WordPress around the world. And yeah, so we have some basic stuff. Honestly, of your answers, the only one I can really tell you about is locales because we track that in an update.
Oh.
So I can tell you how many WordPresses, the top five languages, if you're curious about that.
Sure.
Obviously, English is 42%, followed by Japanese, Spanish, German, French, Portuguese, Brazilian Portuguese, English again, the British version, and then Italian. So those are the top ones.
But you don't have any information about how many would be e-commerce stores that would fall under the EAA or anything like that.
Oh, we do have, BuiltWith has some information for WooCommerce and other solutions. WooCommerce is now, I think, a quarter of all WordPress websites. On its own, it's 8.6% of all websites. WordPress is 43%. So it's getting up there.
Yeah. Do you feel like when you see if that large of a percentage of WordPress websites are e-commerce, is that an argument for accessibility should be a number one checkbox before anything can go?
Woo is a commercial project and they are obviously investing in this. So yeah, I think it is really critical for those users.
For Woo, but not for WordPress as a whole.
You could keep trying to get me to...
I'm trying. I'm trying my best.
And of course, accessibility is important for WordPress as a whole, but in Woo, there's a commercial reason to invest pretty heavily in it because it's very hard. Woo covers a lot of screens, a lot of everything. There's a lot going on in that. I thought e-commerce was going to be similar to CMS. It is factorially more difficult. It's kind of wild.
Yeah. I want to transition and allow people who are here attending to ask some questions. So everybody, I'm going to pay attention to them by upvotes. I'm only going to ask things that are related to accessibility, just so everyone knows. But as I look through those and decide how to prioritize them, We did have a question from Nassim, who's one of our accessibility team reps, who's here. He had asked this in advance. He had wanted to know if you could share thoughts on how the accessibility team can collaborate more closely with design and core teams to make accessibility improvements happen faster.
Oh, that's kind of a fundamental question, like how to collaborate better. I don't know. That's I think, what we all try to do every day, right? That's a very meta thing. And specifically, I'm not aware of what the challenges are. And that's what I'd want to understand first is, okay, what have you tried? What's working? What's not? Like this math thing, it's a bummer. How fast do we turn it around? How fast do we get that feedback? And so I just want to ask some more questions, actually, to understand the team's point of view before trying to answer that. Because it's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the history was for a while, we tried to have individual people whose role on the accessibility team was just to go attend other teams' meetings and report back.
That's cool. Yeah.
But then I think it ended up being like, you'd look at the list and it was like, Joe Dolson was like the person for every team. And I was like, he cannot possibly go to all those meetings. So he's going to live in Slack all day long for every team meeting. I don't know.
That's funny.
No, I think that collaboration in general it's a challenge, but something worth continuing to iterate on and try and figure out what the best process is.
By the way, is this a good point to say my idea for the accessibility team?
Sorry?
Is this a good point to say my idea for the accessibility team?
Yes. Yes.
What's your love idea? To see more user stories.
Okay.
I think it feels very abstract for a lot of people. I've gotten this feedback from some developers. And so if you can, it's so part, this is why Showcase is the number one menu item on WordPress.org. There's so many people whose lives are changed. Who does an amazing job of this? Microsoft Accessibility. I know they're pretty good. They invest a ton in it as well. So they have just little stories, little videos, little blog posts, like HeroPress, like something where people can really connect. I know we have Alex Stein, he's a great contributor, and he definitely makes things real for a lot of people. But what are some other examples? What's the kind of stories that will get people, inspire people, right? Because it's marketing fundamentally. And I find stories sell so much better than just being like, you should do this or it's required. People can really connect to humanity. That's intrinsic to all of us and the empathy that we all have.
Is that something that would be on the accessibility blog or on the WordPress.org blog? There's HeroPress. And I know there's some accessibility stories in there, but they're just mixed in with all the other. And where would you see those going?
Well, we started putting HeroPress on WordPress.org. It's a great example. So I'd say just start it on any blog, probably the Accessibility Make blog. And then if it's good, bump it to the main one, just like we did with HeroPress. So.
Yeah, have a category or something on the Make blog for the accessibility team that shares those.
Totally, yeah.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be fancy. It could just be a blog post or a story or a picture or something, but making it real.
Yeah. Okay. I like that idea. I will take that back to the team and see what we can do.
Cool. So. Thank you.
So let me see. I am looking through. So Dice Creative, there's a kind of an interesting question here. It says, with many disabled people already using their own tools and where AI is going, is assisting, they're wondering if there's any ways with AI to assist, to reduce massive amount of work to make things more compliant. And I had also had a question that I had sent you that it might be interesting to talk about, like how WordPress is looking ahead to some of the more evolving assistive technologies, like increased use of voice control and AI-driven screen readers. And of course, what's a webinar in 2025 without a question about AI? So do you have any thoughts about AI to improve accessibility or AI, like how WordPress is looking at better integrating with AI in the future?
And this is a great question, and actually gets to a little bit of my hesitation to lock us in to a particular accessibility approach or standard, because I think that the real world use and application of this is going to radically change people's lives and people with needs. Have you seen the project from ChatGPT that's See For Me or something? Heard about this?
And there's apps also, Be My Eyes, where anyone can sign up as a volunteer, and then basically you can get video calls, and then somebody will show you. They could hold up a prescription bot, like two prescription bottles, and you could read the labels to them.
Wow.
Like that.
So, yeah.
But I think it's even better now with AI being able to do it, right?
Yeah. Totally. In every language in the world. And it's going to, I think, be the one beautiful thing about the AI companies. There's lots of criticisms you could have, but they really are making the technology very accessible. It's ChatGPT is free. It's very, they're investing a lot in lowering prices continually. And I think it's going to be the biggest change in my lifetime. I think it's, I put it on par with electrification, actually, and that it's going to affect every single job, every single industry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's changing all the time. It's totally changed how we work even now from a year ago. I was reflecting on a new plugin we're getting ready to launch and how different that process has been building that from our last plugin. Much faster and different kinds of checks and easier in many ways, but also sometimes more difficult. So
we had an engineering leads meetup over the weekends with Matthias and folks like that. And he was telling me that they did sort of an AI bug run and they were able to close like dozens more bugs than they normally do. And it's completely changed, for example, how Matthias thinks about backlogs, because sometimes we have these bugs and they're important, but spin up a team, it takes a few weeks, like, and now it can happen in hours. And he's actually trying to look at how to do more things simultaneously, run like 5 cloud codes at once, because he just wants to be like an orchestrator. And I think that's the future of development, to be honest. So that's part of why I'm so excited. We got so many open issues in WordPress and Gutenberg. I think it's, I forget the number, 12,000 or something, 9,000. It's ridiculous. And
yeah, I think I was looking at just the accessibility tagged ones the other day were like 450 or something.
Now, that sounds scarier than it actually is, because a lot of these are not valid anymore. They're not, like, it just needs some triage. And we need some help there. We need some automation. We do a lot with a very small team. You do as well, but imagine like the core and everything like that. It's pretty small for software that runs 43% of the internet. And I think automation is the key to the future.
Yeah. So Joe Simpson had asked, he said, Matt, are there any highlights of improved accessibility specific features you can speak about in upcoming releases, either user facing or admin? Are you aware of any that you want to highlight?
I'm gonna pass that one to you, because I think you're probably far better educated on that. So,
you know, I think actually, I mentioned earlier, I was really excited about the accordion block in 6.9. And I actually think that this is a huge win for accessibility, to have more of these basic blocks that pretty much every website needs in core. Because what has happened, going back to Ed's complaint, like, I always have to go find plugins. And I don't know if you saw, but I do, for 2 years now, my team has done a big review of accessibility in page builders.
Oh, and yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah, so it's amazing to me. Some of them do fine and some of them do very poorly.
And did you get a review of like Squarespace?
I did. So I had a YouTuber pay me once. She like set up all these sites and I like did a whole bunch of the similar thing that I did for page building and for the page builders. I did for Wix and Squarespace and Webflow and something else. And Shopify. And one other one that I'd never even heard of. And she
said, WordPress? Wow.
The thing that, so when I did the page builder comparison, I put WordPress core as my kind of like baseline. Huh? But the difficulty that I had, because everyone was always like, why don't you do Gutenberg? And why don't you compare the block editor to using a page builder? Most of the components that I was testing in page builders don't exist in WordPress core. So there's literally no, right? So like, for example, I was testing accordions in all of them. And until 6.9 comes out, there was no accordion block. So I literally couldn't say, right? So tabs, all that. But I think getting more of these, those kind of baseline components into core is a huge accessibility win, because, and I know, I'm sure that the plugin developers make accordion blocks are mad right now. But the reality is websites need these, and it is going to make a better, more accessible internet if there's like just baseline components for them in core.
Let's work on it then. Let's do it.
Yeah. So tabs are coming next. I'm excited about that one too.
Right. What's the top of your wish list?
What's the top of my wish list for things to come? Okay. So this is a thing I would really like to see, which is I would like Gutenberg to get smarter about how it presents options to people. So a really great example of this is
color contrast, or?
So color contrast is nice because we have a warning already and it will say, hey, we think this might be failing.
That's awesome. I really appreciate people who worked on that. So thank you.
Yes. And I think this is one of the strengths of using Gutenberg versus Classic Editor, because Gutenberg is able to do more of this kind of testing as you build in a way that Classic Editor never would, right? And so I would like to see more of that. Obviously, like I built a plugin who's trying to be like surface more of these problems to content editors. But what I would really like to see in Core is things like if you insert a heading block, it should never show you heading one through heading six as your options for heading. It should know this is the first heading you've added on the page. There's already a heading one. So therefore, you don't need another heading one. And also, you don't need three through six because the first heading after a heading one should be a heading two. And so I would really like to see more guided editing experiences.
I think that's a great idea. So thank you. By the way, I'm going to have to wrap up. I got to catch a flight. So I know we have 8 more minutes, but I'm a little close.
No, I understand. I appreciate you coming and spending time with us here. I'm sorry, everyone, if we did not get questions, but what I'll do is I can pass them along to Matt, maybe. I can send them to you so you at least have them. And if you want to, you can do something with them.
Yeah.
Does that
Well, thank you
work?
so much. I really appreciate you putting this together. Thank you, everyone. I'll see you.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you, everyone. Don't forget to come back next month for Brian Kors from WooCommerce. And we will see you all then.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release. You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.